All right, it's a sound and alarm version of the Heart and Hustle podcast. Nick Grunowitz here. Chris Crawford is with me. Scott Innes is taking this one off. He's apoplectic after the New York Knicks loss.
He's sitting in the corner breathing deeply in and out of a brown paper bag right now.
From time to time, now we have not really had to do this over the last, I don't know, 6-7 years or so. We are going to have kind of an emergency podcast or so. And after the Magic lost to the 13-win New York Knicks on Tuesday night, we felt the need to jump into the studio here and just hit the panic button.
Danger, Will Robinson. Danger. Danger, Will Robinson. Danger.
And that is the sound that you are going to hear after the Magic lose to the New York Knicks on Tuesday night. They've started 1-2 coming out of the All-Star break. The only team they beat was the second-best team in the Eastern Conference. They have lost to the Bulls. They have lost to the Knicks. The Magic bench got outscored by 68 bleeping points on Tuesday night.
How do you beat the second-best team in the East? I get it was out without Kawhi.
I don't care about that.
And it was by 20, what was it, by 15 points. Felt like a 25-point win. But then you lose to the Knicks and the Bulls, two of the four worst teams in the NBA, two teams who have no interest in winning right now. And it is very confusing.
It is a couple of numbers from that that we can give you. Aaron Gordon gives you 26 points. The starters, by the way, were good for the Magic for the most part. The starters were good. You get 26 from
all of them.
Aaron
DJ
Gordon and
double
Nick
figures,
Vucevic.
Right?
No, all five starters
were in
double.
Did DJ hit double figures too?
Yeah, he ended up with 13. I'm sure it was a couple of late buckets or something. But the Magic starters give you good numbers. But as we have seen in many Magic losses this year, the bench was just... Was a graveyard. It was. You got 3 points from Terrence Ross on 1-of-10 shooting. It was the worst game of the season for Terrence Ross. That was about as bad as it gets after a big, big game, one of his best of the year, in the win over Toronto. You got 2 points from Wes Iwundu. Kem Birch and Jerian Grant each give you a point each, and your bench is outscored. Was it 75-7?
Something along those
lines. By 68 points.
Yeah, it was by a lot.
By 68 points, and that is because Henry Ellenson, who comes in, he's bombing threes.
Shout out
13
to
points. There you go. That's right, Marquette guy. How long ago was he at Marquette? Was he a Buzz Williams guy or
two,
no?
It was 2 years ago.
Oh, okay.
So
he's not
ago.
A Buzz Williams
recent,
guy.
Yeah. He was drafted by Detroit, I think, 2 or 3 years ago.
Yes, you're right about that. Emmanuel Mudiay gives you 19. Alonzo Trier, shout out Arizona. shout out Westchester Knicks, just saying. 18 points for him. But all this, here's the thing. Like, this was the worst case scenario type of game for the Magic, where you come out, your starters give you good minutes. You just need the bench to be kind of slightly below average, not historically bad.
Right.
And you beat the Knicks.
Right. This is going to happen to Terrence Ross every now and then. That's the style of play that he has. Unfortunately, this was a game that we really could have used his bench because there was no one else on the bench that stepped up.
Right.
Whereas you look at the last game and it was Jerian Grant racked up, 7 assists?
Jerian Grant himself had himself a good game the game
against
Toronto.
But then he comes out because, you know, Isaiah Briscoe's been taking all of his minutes. So then he finally gets a chance to showcase himself and he tries and wants to prove something. He comes out, has a great game, and it's almost like he thought, okay, good. I came out here, I did what I was supposed to do today. And now the next game, it's almost like, I don't have to keep it up this game. I'm cool. Like, I'm good. I show what I can do. It doesn't matter. But no, this was, I wish that he, of all the guys on the bench with Terrence Ross struggling, would have tried to do a little bit more out there.
Yeah. And they didn't get anything out of him. They didn't get anything out of Terrence Ross. Once again, Wes Iwundu. You know, Wes Iwundu takes 5 shots. He's out there for defense. He's not out there for offense. The guys that you really needed something out of were Grant
and Wes has
and
been
Ross.
There all year. Wes has stepped up all year. There have been countless games that Wes Iwundu has been a difference maker in. Jerian Grant finally stepped up for the first time, it felt like, all season long. I know he had hit a couple of big threes earlier in the year, but was never really a big time off the bench player where he was actually piling up statistics. But that game against Toronto, he looked great. And I kind of had hope, okay, well, maybe Isaiah Briscoe getting all these minutes and coming out and getting all this pub was kind of irking him and motivating him to be just a little bit better than what he had been at the start of the year. But he regressed right back to what we have seen from him all year long after his best performance of the year on Sunday.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. By the way, in games where Terrence Ross scores 10 points or less, the Magic are 7-12 this year.
Sounds about right.
It does. There's a mixed bag in there of games where, obviously, if the team gets off to a good start, you're up. Terrence Ross sits.
It's actually better than I would think we would be.
It was better than I thought it was. I don't really know where to start here, other than this is a team, in my opinion, Chris, that for whatever reason, and you and I have been covering this team. How long have we been working together? About 3 years, four years?
Three, four years.
To me, this is something deep-seated in the Magic culture. Now, yeah. the Rob Hennigan, and now it's post-Rob Hennigan culture, but I would still attach this to Rob Hennigan, though. It's kind of like the B.O. in Seinfeld. You know, like you've left the car,
yeah.
It has lingered. Rob Hennigan continues. The ghost of Rob Hennigan lingers with, this team can't play with expectations because they have never played with expectations.
As soon as you step up to win the big game, they become a shell of themselves.
Exactly. You see the Magic. They win five games going into the break. You get a week off. We all knew we did not want the All-Star break to happen. We
wanted to keep it rolling.
Keep it rolling. I know Jonathan Isaac talked about that before the All-Star break, before that final game. You win five straight. Now you come out, and you and I were chatting about this before we got started. You come out. This team should be 3-0. Like I guess this team could be 3-0. You should be 2-1. Instead, you're 1-2, and you very well, if Kawhi plays for the Raptors, could be 0-3.
Right.
Out of the break. And I know I just gave you all the ways that the first three games should have went, but you look at this. You should beat the Bulls. You should beat the Knicks. I don't know who's more upset about losing the game on Tuesday night, the Magic or the Knicks, because the Knicks had no interest in winning that game.
They should be 2-1. They should most definitely be 2-1. I mean, you get that win over the Bulls. Maybe you don't get the win against the Raptors because you don't come out as, you know, motivated
hungry.
To try and get that win and try and, you know, capitalize on a situation with Kawhi out. But yeah, after you get that Raptors win, then you look back at these three games, and I think the only thing you're looking at is, well, we should be 3-0. You know, I mean, as much as it should be 2-1 based off the opponents, when you got that Raptors win, you look back over the last three games and we should be 3-0, and hey, they should be in the eighth spot right now because the other teams have lost. Now, lucky for the Magic, who do the Miami Heat have tonight, Wednesday night? They have the Golden State Warriors, which is great for the Orlando Magic because that means that the Heat aren't going to be able to pick up a game.
Oh, I'm sorry. The Warriors play the Heat tonight. That's
yes.
right, because the Magic have them Wednesday
the Magic
night,
have
right?
them. No, Thursday night.
Sorry, Thursday. I'm caught up in the schedule.
Tonight
yeah, that's
slash
right.
tomorrow. We're recording this on Wednesday. So tonight, Wednesday night, the Miami Heat will play the Golden State Warriors, and then we'll see what happens there. I imagine the Warriors will pick up that win, and then you get the Warriors off of a back-to-back where maybe we might get lucky again, and maybe they'll rest somebody. They don't normally do that, but who knows what's going to happen.
We've seen a lot of teams rest a guy in the back end, right? I mean, on the back end of the Florida back-to-back? Yeah, I mean,
yes,
we have seen a lot of teams
do
that.
I mean, the guys they rest would be like an Iguodala and maybe a DeMarcus Cousins,
sure.
you know, but we'll still probably get Clay, Kevin, and Steph.
Right. Well, here's what you're hoping for is what Orlando has taken advantage of for years and years. Actually, I'm sure the 30 years of their franchise existence, and that would be teams coming to Orlando after having a really good time in Miami when they
right.
were there for the one night, either getting a win or taking an L in Miami and being hungover coming into O-Town. That's what you're hoping for.
That's what you're hoping for. You're hoping that the Golden State Warriors don't leave immediately after the game tonight.
Right. No, you want them to stay.
For a bit
right.
and hang out.
Want them to hang around.
Hit up, what is it, Live down there? Yeah, go to Live.
Yeah,
go
exactly.
down to Live.
Go enjoy Miami, enjoy South Beach and all of that. But here's the thing. I mean, I want to get back to the expectations thing because this is a team that when there are no expectations, they play extremely well. They play loose. They play the way they should play. And even for the first quarter of that game against the Knicks, I mean, what do you run off to? Like a 30-9 start to that game. I did not turn it off, but I kind of thought to myself, cool, we got a win in the bucket. You're gonna get a chance to come back home tied for the 8 seed with Charlotte. And instead, you let the Knicks get back into it. And it was the two things that really haunt this Magic team season after season. And the two things I'm talking about are, A, the bench, that has been bad for years because, frankly, when you have a talent problem in terms of starters, you're going to have a talent problem in terms of the bench. And also, too, dude, it's point guard defense. How many years have we watched this team? And I know that DJ Augustine has his flaws, but for whatever reason, and the big difference in the game was Emmanuel Mudiay coming in transition, just cutting dudes
apart.
Yeah,
he had his way.
He definitely did. And the other thing that changed things last night, or Tuesday night, I guess I should say, Mitchell Robinson had this Magic team shook.
Yeah.
How many blocks did he have?
I think he finished with six.
With six? Mitchell Robinson had that comment a couple of nights ago where he said, you know, I think I could average six blocks for a season or six blocks in a game, you know, per game for an entire season or something like that. And I kind of laughed at it. Mitchell Robinson is really good.
He had 17 points last night, 14 rebounds, and it was six blocks. And only three fouls, too, which is the amazing part. He's getting all these blocks without fouling. But
Man, I thought he was going to end up fouling out of that game because he was so he was going for blocks last night. He was all over it, but found a way to not get whistled for those fouls.
But this is the type of thing that happens when you're a good team and you're playing. Like, the Magic had wins like this the last few years where they were the team looking to tank. But just because they don't, the other team doesn't give them the respect that they feel they deserve.
Paging the Washington Wizards.
They were able to catch them off guard and get them on a surprise. And that's what happened here. I mean, the New York Knicks' second lineup came in. Henry Ellenson, Mitchell Robinson, Emmanuel Mudiay, Alonzo Trier. And it's almost like the Magic, as soon as they came in, were like, all right, we're good. We've got this, 20-point first half lead at one point. Or I don't even know it got to 20. It was definitely 17, 18 at one point. But then you kind of relax and you're like, we've got this in the bag. We've got the comfy lead. Henry Ellenson is coming in for these guys. Like, we're fine. Right. Like, we've got this thing. And then they all get hot. And the problem is they stayed hot the entire rest of the game. And, I mean, Mudiay, Mitchell Robinson, Alonzo Trier, and Henry Ellenson all scored in double figures. They all played incredible games. I mean, arguably maybe some of the best games they've had all year long. I know Trier has been up and down this year. Mudiay's been up and down. It's got to be Henry Ellenson's best game all year long. I'm willing to go out on a limb and bet that right now, that that's the best game that Henry Ellenson has played. Unless it was a loss that the Knicks had where they lost by 50.
Oh, where
50,
he got to play like
30
minutes.
And he got to play 30 minutes. This, I mean, the reason they won the game was because of those four guys.
I agree.
And that's kind of one of the things.
Do not leave John Jenkins out of this either. I'm sorry. Like, we're going way too Knicks-y on a Magic podcast here. Shout to John Jenkins of the Capital City Go-Go and Westchester Knicks, who I saw dropped 44 against the Lakeland Magic earlier this year. I'm going to have to edit some of this out because we're... by the way, Henry Ellenson he was a DNP. I'm sorry, he's been inactive. He's played like five games this year.
That's what I mean. Like, that's the type of thing that happens.
That was his best game this season.
And he was the guy who was just banging. He hit the late three, the dagger three in the fourth quarter with under 2 minutes to go or something.
His previous season high was 7 points, and that was back in October. 1, 2, 3. He's played four games this year.
Yeah, exactly. And so that's the kind of thing that happens.
Where has he been? Is he been in Westchester or something?
No, but Henry Ellenson doing that is equivalent of Wes Iwundu having that one game last year where he dropped like 16 points or something in the Magic surprise a team. Like, that happens every year throughout an NBA season. And now the Magic are just on the opposite end of that spectrum. Years past, they've been the team making that surprise and ruining other teams' chances at making the playoffs. But now you've got to realize that you can't let that happen to you. And as a team that's been in that position before, the Magic should have recognized as soon as that run started, like,
we need to shore this thing up
and figure this out.
This
but they didn't.
Lacks self-awareness.
They didn't. They lack self-awareness big time. And you know what big time self-awareness was in the post game? Evan Fournier.
So talk to me a little bit about this because you noticed this. I really didn't. I saw the Fournier quote and I forget who tweeted it. I'm sure Josh Robbins did because Josh covers the team unlike anybody else. Yeah, The Athletic. We're going to try to get him on the pod at some point in time here. But it was basically Evan Fournier saying it was a tough loss to swallow. But you kind of noticed what some other guys, I guess, what Aaron Gordon and Vooch and these guys.
Vooch said he should have played better defense. Terrence Ross said he played like crap. It wasn't crap. It was a different word, but I'm going to refrain from using it.
Sure, no, that's fine.
And then Aaron Gordon just said, we've got to play better as a team. I've got to do better. We've got to do better as a team. Whereas Evan Fournier came out and just said, hey, it's a tough loss. Mm. There was no accountability there from the guy that went 0-for-7 from three-pointer. How do you not reference the fact that you were ice cold from behind the arc? Like,
what's cooler than being cool?
Ice cold, man, and that's what he was. At some point, you'd like to see this team and everyone on it take accountability for everything, like you said, but there is none out there. There's no self-awareness. And
go
it's
ahead.
Just
no. I want you to burn Evan Fournier to the ground right now. You feel this way, don't you?
The problem is that it feels like there's some sort of problem and disparity between him and Aaron Gordon. There's some sort of issue there because
this has always been a click in the locker room.
When
Chris.
One's hot, the other's not. And if one starts out hot, he eventually cools off. It's like they won't let the other one stay with the hot hand. And last night, Evan started off well, but Aaron was the one who was really getting things going early on. And he was the guy that you were kind of like, okay, it's his game today. Yet Evan kept coming down. I mean, there was two threes in under 5 minutes there where Evan Fournier ran down the court and just jacked him up way early in the shot clock.
He went 0-of-7 from 3.
Yeah, it's 0-of-7.
Here's where I'll agree with you. In a game where Evan Fournier was shooting the ball as poorly as he did, and he still ended up with 8 assists, might I say. But Evan Fournier should not shoot the ball 16 times when he's shooting the ball that poorly.
No, he could
have. He should not shoot the ball as many times as Aaron Gordon should.
He could have ended that game with 12 or 13 assists. But instead, he forced ill-advised three-pointers when Jonathan Isaac is wide open the corner. He looked him off on three separate occasions.
Yes, it was an I-want-to-eat-too type of game. And there's only so much food in the bowl. I did not see what you were seeing, but I have to say, like, I don't disagree with you. When you start looking at the numbers here and the kind of game that Evan Fournier had last night, there needs to be a little bit more of a defer for him. And here's where I will go to Aaron Gordon. I will say, hey, we have seen that from AG. We have seen games where Aaron Gordon has said, listen, I ain't got it, but you know who's cooking? Nick Vucevic is. I don't know necessarily if, you know, the whole Evan and AG thing. I don't know if there's something there or not. But last night was the kind of game.
Recklessly speculating.
Yeah, I know. We're irrationally speculating here, yes. I don't know if that's the kind of game where AG and Evan are kind of like, we both want to eat. But here's Evan Fournier was bad last night. There have been plenty of games where he's been bad this season. And you look at it, when you're having a bad night like that, I know he was a plus six, okay? He needs to defer a little bit more. And...
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Here's one other thing I want to get to, because we can beat this team losing to the Knicks to death. I thought that last night's game on Tuesday, because this is going to go up on Wednesday. I thought Tuesday night's game was the perfect example as to why the Magic should have called and tried to sign a guy like Carmelo Anthony.
Yes, I would agree with that 100%.
And I don't know what interest there is from Carmelo. I'm sure there's almost less than zero interest in a guy like Carmelo Anthony, but I look around at the buyout market, and I look around at the guys that are on the end of other benches. I see Alonzo Trier, okay, who, by the way, was a non-undrafted free agent. All right, Trier's a bad example. John Jenkins, who gave you 8 points last night. Guys that are just kind of out there. They're around. I see B.J. Johnson from the Lakeland Magic, okay, who got signed to a 10-day from Atlanta. I don't know why the Magic did not go looking for just instant offense for the bench if they decided, all right, we want to go on a playoff run. I don't know why you don't call Carmelo Anthony and say, hey, Melo, do you want to come off? You can come off the bench for us. You can take 10, 13 shots a game, just like it's going to be you and Terrence Ross off the bench, and there are going to be nights where we are ice cold and we need you to just cook for us. Come on down. You can get paid the veterans minimum. It seems to me that the Lakers are not interested. And I don't think Carmelo wants to walk into L.A. where LeBron is there, where they're going to miss the playoffs, and it's going to get blamed on him. The Rockets aren't interested. We played that story. Oklahoma City's not interested. No one is interested in Carmelo. So why not call the guy and say, hey, we have a roster spot. Get rid of Jarrell Martin. Whatever, okay? We have a roster spot open. Come down here and help lead us to the playoffs.
Well, and you look at that bench, and outside of Terrence Ross, there's nobody that really can shoot the ball or is a bucket getter, so to speak. Like, they're all good role pieces. You know, Isaiah Briscoe's a good long point guard who can defend well and is crafty and lean. Ken Birch is a big, long body who's good at rebounding and good at defense. Jarrell Martin's a good defensive guy, and yeah, he can shoot the three, but it's not as consistent as you would like it to be. Jerrion Grant, I'm still not quite sure what he's bringing to the table there. And Wes, a one-two defensive specialist, his three-pointer has been on and off this year, too.
Yes.
I'll give you another name that we didn't even think about when he was put on the market, but how about an Austin Rivers? In Orlando,
we talked about this on ESPN 580.
No, we did. We talked about this,
right.
But it felt like it wasn't even brought in the Magic front office, and you look at where you are now, and you're looking at what Austin Rivers is doing, giving the Houston Rockets, a playoff team, about 26 minutes a game off the bench. I mean, that's a guy that would have been perfect. The hometown kid probably would have been very comfortable coming off the bench and playing for this team, and it's on nights like last night or Tuesday night when Terrence Ross wasn't feeling it from the floor, and Evan Fournier, your other guard, who's shooting the ball, isn't feeling it either. You need someone else that you can just throw into the mix and just say, hey, look, go get us a bucket. Put the ball in the basket. And I mean, yeah, Austin Rivers would have been a good
Winter
one
Park
for
Zone.
This. Yeah. He's not, though. He didn't. And I mean, now at this point, yeah, Carmelo Anthony's out there. I'd love to see them turn the wheels on that, but it doesn't feel like that's going to happen either. And I don't know if they're going to make a move, but I think they've got to maybe do something. Is there anyone in China?
So, there are dudes in China.
No, I know.
There are dudes in China. There are dudes in China cooking right now, I'll tell you. But, and that's, I think the discussion that you and I are having right now is the whole development versus winning now. And Jeff Weltman and John Hammond have been here 2 years. This is the first time, honestly, where I've looked at these guys, where I've looked at the process, I guess, and I've said, you know, bleep it. Like, let's try to make the playoffs here. And they did not trade Vooch. They did not trade Terrence Ross. They decided, okay, we're going to push. But other than that, they traded for Markelle Fultz. That's a move for the future, whatever. And I guess we could debate whether or not Jonathan Simmons helps you win that game on Tuesday. I don't think he really does the way he was playing.
Have you looked at the Philadelphia 76ers Twitter?
I
took a screenshot of it the other night because I wanted to bring it up. But yeah, this is just for all the Magic fans out there who still regret the Simmons trade.
All the Magic fans out there who crapped all over the Fultz trade saying you gave up a body that could help us win. Now, I agree with you. I don't think Jonathan Simmons could help us. What's the tweet?
Jonathan Simmons is awful, my God. Jonathan Simmons is so bad. I think I'd rather have Fultz on the bench for another year than this bum. Can Jonathan Simmons give his legs to Boban? Fire Brett Brown and leave Jonathan Simmons in New Orleans. Jonathan Simmons, not a fan. And that was like one page. Like I was scrolling for hours. So I don't think Jonathan Simmons helps you win this game because, again, he's another guy that, yes, he can drive in the lane. He can drive and dish and kind of get around and get buckets down to the layup. But you need another shooter off the bench for the nights where Terrence Ross is cold. And that's normally – there haven't been many nights this year where he is. What'd you say? It was 7-12. We have 19 games this year where Terrence Ross has scored under 10 points.
Correct.
So it's not a big sample size of games where he hasn't been on his game, but it's going to happen. And down the stretch here especially, there's probably going to be one, maybe two more games going on the rest of the way where Terrence Ross hits under 10. And it's in those two games where you are going to need another bench score, or you're probably going to lose those games.
Yeah, and that's why I think you should have, and I believe you still could, right? I mean, you can still sign a player for the playoffs, right?
Carmelo's still out there, yeah.
Well, no, I know Carmelo's out there. What's the deadline for the playoff teams?
I think you can do it like right until before the playoffs start.
No, there's a deadline. There's a day. I'll look that up really quick here. Let's finish on this, I guess, now that you and I have just kind of like bloviated about this team for the last 20, 25 minutes or so, but that's kind of why we have this podcast for us to do this. To me, yes, by the way, priority one is they need to find somebody for the back end of this bench if you still can sign someone for the playoffs for a push, because while the one encouraging thing for the Magic should be, okay, so we've lost two games we shouldn't have lost, and it ain't like Charlotte and Miami and Detroit are running away from us. Those teams are equally as flawed as the Orlando Magic are, and you're going to get an opportunity to play all the way until the end of the schedule here to get into the playoffs. Charlotte's not going anywhere. They have one of the tougher schedules. Detroit's not going anywhere. And I'll tell you what, I think Miami is just a broken team. I credit Eric Spoelstra for what he's done. I really appreciate it. If they get Goran Dragic back to where he normally is at the level of basically an all-star point guard, he's back with them now, right? Is he back playing?
I believe so. Yeah, no, not yet. Not yet.
He's not back yet?
I don't think so.
Okay, I thought that he was back now.
I could be wrong on that, though.
Well, hold on, let me check. Because they lost to the Suns, so I hope he's not back if they lost to the Suns last night. He's not yet, no. He's not back yet. But when they get him back and get him back to the level he's playing at, maybe that changes things for them.
He's set to return to the rotation, but he's not back in the starting lineup.
So I guess by me saying that, because I want to get to the panic meter here, okay, and yeah, where we should be.
23 minutes and 10 points against the Suns, actually.
Dragic did?
Yeah.
Did I totally just look at a box score and miss him?
You might have missed it. 5 of 12 from the floor, 4 assists. He's not starting. He's coming off the bench for him right now.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. Plus, I looked at the Phoenix roster, and
he was there at one point, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He was a Sun at one point.
Well, that's exactly what happened was I saw Suns, and I was like, nope, no Dragic here.
And also, just quickly here, April 10th, the last day of the season, is the last day to sign players.
April 10th. So for the playoffs?
Yes, you can, yep.
Wow. Okay. For some reason, I thought that there was an artificial deadline in there.
There's a day.
Deadline.
There's a last day to sign restricted free agents.
No.
Which would be like if what's his face had gone the whole.
I'm thinking baseball here. Yeah. Who was
the guy from the Warriors that now plays for Sixers?
McCaw.
Yeah.
Plays for Toronto.
Or Toronto. I'm sorry. Yeah. That's right. We just saw him. That's what it was. I was trying to think of what team it was, Pat McCaw. And yeah, if he was still a restricted free agent right now.
You mean when the Cavaliers tampered with the Warriors and the league totally let him off because
it's the Warriors?
The Cavaliers were still pissed off about losing LeBron because they couldn't beat them. Yeah. So in terms of the panic meter, I guess, for Magic fans, and I guess this is where I wanted to finish this, because you want to see this team make a playoff push. The panic level for me, because you know that Charlotte's not going to run away, because Miami is still kind of circling around trying to figure that team out. Detroit's not going to run away either, and you have two spots available there. on a scale of 1 to 10, I'm at a 6 or 7 just because
I was going to say 6 too.
Okay, see, I'm at a 6 or 7 just because this is a team that doesn't seem to want to play with expectations.
Yeah.
And you look at the next stretch of games. Golden State on Thursday. Listen, they could beat them. This is a Jekyll and Hyde team. But then you go on the road for 5 of your next 6. You're at Indiana. You're at Cleveland. You're at Philly. You get Dallas at home, Luka Doncic. Then you go to Memphis and Washington.
4 winnable games.
That is it's a tough schedule.
But it's tough.
It's a tough schedule because you go back-to-back Indiana to Cleveland. You get a day off. You play Philly. So you play 3 and 4 nights. Then you go 3 and 5 nights. You go Dallas, Memphis, Washington. And then you get a stretch at home where you get a couple of teams that aren't that good. Cleveland, Atlanta, New Orleans, Memphis. But in these next 6, I think you need to win 4 of them, like you said. You gotta beat Cleveland. Cleveland, Memphis. You throwing Dallas in there too as a win?
We'll see what Luka does that game.
See, that's the thing.
If he sits or plays.
There are only 2 games that I look at here where it's like, oh, well, that's 100% a win. And that's Cleveland and that's Memphis.
Even Memphis, though. Memphis just beat Lakers with LeBron.
With LeBron, you're right. So I would put it at a 6 or 7 right now. But this team needs to wake up, and they got to figure out, as Aaron Gordon said it after the game, they got to figure out the defense and make sure that they're not getting just juiced by point guards here. And they have to somehow figure out who's going to step up on that bench.
And they're getting fortunate, too, because you go back to the loss against the Bulls and what happened to the Heat. Yeah. They turned around and they lost to the Suns.
Right.
Right. And then you look at...
Well, no, that was last night. They lost to the Suns last night. That was
the
loss
last night or
New
two
York.
Nights ago? It was 2 nights ago. It was like... Okay. It was recent. It was
these
either,
games all just...
They all blend together. But either way, you're getting... The other teams aren't necessarily doing what they need to do either.
Exactly.
And that's not going to continue to be the trend. You've got Wednesday night tonight. You've got the Spurs are playing the Pistons. Who knows what's going to happen that game because the Spurs have been spiraling out of control too. The Rockets are playing the Charlotte Hornets. And you got the Warriors playing the Heat. There's a very, very, very good chance that the Pistons, Hornets, and the Heat could all lose tonight.
Imagine they're going to back their way into the 8th seed because
that's
these other
because
teams,
these
are,
other
so
teams
bad.
Are so bad. And that, but I don't think they're going to be able to back their way in this. I don't think
so. No, I agree.
They're going to have to start winning some games. You can't keep relying on the other teams to lose to keep you in the fight. You've got to take the fight to them. And that's what you have an opportunity to do here. The Warriors game is a tough one to start out with. But after that game... You got to start winning games.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. This is a team where finally they need to start playing with some expectations, and you look at the guys like the nucleus of this team, the Rob Hennigan holdovers, the Nick Vucevic, Aaron Gordon, Evan Fournier. Am I missing anybody? Those 3 guys, right? Those 3 guys in particular, they need to start performing when the bright lights come on, and we saw 2 guys do it on Tuesday. You lost. Evan Fournier needs to find himself.
Yeah.
And it has been a season where every time he has a good game, it's like, oh, yeah, here comes Evan. And he's got to find himself over the final, 20-21 games or so.
This is going to come down to the last game of the season versus Charlotte, isn't it?
And I'm here for it.
I'm ready.
I absolutely am. Thank you for being here for this, the Hard and Hustle Podcast, episode number 6. Scott Inez sat this one out. He was a DNP CD. He's Chris Crawford.
He's got some color back in his face now. He's looking good.
You can follow him on Twitter at ESPN580Nick. I'm Nick Grunowitz. You can follow me at ESPN580Nick. I did not say CC there, did I?
No,
at
ESPN580CC.
Yep. And at ESPN580Nick. Make sure you listen to Scott Inez weekdays on ESPN 580 Orlando, 4 to 6, 580 AM, 96.5 FM HD2. Tune in radio basically everywhere that you can find audio. You can find Scott Inez. And you can download this podcast via the link that I tweet out, that Chris tweets out, that Scott tweets out, as well as wherever you can find podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, the whole thing. We'll be back a little later in this week. We're going to try to pump out 2 or 3 a week, I guess, depending on the news. But we'll see how the game against... They beat the Warriors. We'll be back. I'm going to tell you that for sure. All right. We'll talk to you next time.